Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host this morning. This is another in our ongoing series, The Food Revolution Papers, a chance to talk about the politics of what is on our dinner plates. And believe it or not, there's a good deal of politics involved in this subject. Joining me, as always, are my very good friends, the writing and research team of Manny Barling and Ashley F. Brooks. Good morning to both of you.
Well, good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Simon.
I have a great story for you. Happened earlier this week, in fact, Monday. I was at a bit of a loose end, and I went poking around to find new release or newly released books. Now, I'm an avid reader, but I'm a bit like Groucho Marx. You know, I wouldn't join a club that would have me. So I totally ignore all of the well-known publishers that you see on the New York Times bestseller list. Instead, I was looking at one of the smaller presses, and there was this one book that just caught my attention. And I thought, boy, subject matter looks really, really interesting. So I did my usual due diligence, so we say, you know, let's track this author down. Man, it was, I felt like I was on a manhunt. You know, he didn't seem to exist. But in the end, I did find my way to him through an incredibly circuitous route. I discovered that his son-in-law is a musician. I managed to contact the musician's agent, and so gradually worked up the chain of command. But here's the really amazing thing. This gentleman has 21 books in print, but
he
didn't start writing until, I'm laughing, but you know it's far from funny. He didn't actually start writing until his wife died, who he had been married to for 53 years.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, what a story! I wanted to talk to him, you know. Even if I don't read his books, I mean, it's just such a fabulous story. The gentleman is now 85 years old, and his hobby is writing books, most of which are novels loosely based in fact, set in San Diego during the Second World War.
Well, that's interesting.
It's very interesting.
There's the L.A. author wrote Devil with a Blue Dress On, who set his books in that period, but of all places, South Los Angeles, which is why I'll never know. But there are some really good writers from that period.
Right. I just thought it was such an amazing little story. Anyway, enough of that. Manny, what have you got for us this week?
Well, actually, I had an amazing story, too, but that's a pretty hard one for me to follow. So, no, actually, I wanted to start with a little story that's a combination story and a tip. You know, Ashley and I, when we have trouble getting time to go see movies, so sometimes we sort of sneak out in the afternoons and catch a movie. Well, sometimes it just drives us crazy because you cannot believe what the smell of popcorn is like, and this synthetic popcorn and synthetic butter they use. So Ash and I find it, both of us find it really, really offensive. So we started looking for alternatives. Well, Ashley makes this organic popcorn. And one day she said, that's it, I can't stand the smell, it makes me sick and I want some popcorn. So she started to pop her own popcorn. So the last time we went to see a movie, what we call a Gary Double Bill, which we named after a friend of mine. That's where the average American goes to see one movie in one of those big multiplexes, but strangely sees two. So so we pulled a Gary and we sneaked from one theater to the other. I mean, you know, it was like in the middle of the afternoon. And sometimes we see movies with only like three or four of us there because we see like the noon movie on a Monday when all other normal people are in their office.
Right, so it's completely empty.
So anyway, so we caught this double movie. So Ashley took what looked like a shopping bag, like we'd been shopping in the old mall, sit down and she whips it out with this huge bag of popcorn that was equivalent to about a $6 bag of popcorn. You know, and which is one of the reasons we do it. I mean, sometimes we all know you can go to the movie and buy two tickets for $20 or $24, depending on how expensive is your neighborhood, and spend $15 on popcorn and all the rest for your family. So Ashley took that. I said, wow, what a great idea. So I grabbed, we have a lot of these pure organic candies that are 1 gram per candy and 1 gram per lollipop. So I grabbed a few, shoved them in the bag. So I sucked on a lollipop while she munched this popcorn in the theater going, wow, we just saved $15. So that's a suggestion, people who get equally upset with the theaters and the costs as we are, is that you can be deceptive and sneak it in. And while you may think, well, gee, this isn't fair, or they're not going to make any money off me, you should probably say to yourself, gee, this isn't fair because they're not going to screw me.
But it's not just that, Manny. It's the fact that it's so unhealthy. We did that whole show on popcorn, and what goes into popcorn is just, you just can't eat it and expect to, you know, remain healthy. It goes against everything. So not only are you paying one way, you're also paying for the fact that you're going to have a doctor bill. So, you know, it's a multiple savings there.
Okay. Well, so that'll take us to where we are with the health questions. We're going to cover a variety of things, and particularly politics of chemicals and food as they come around the world, but we've got to start right here. I saw an article, and then Ashley sent me another one on bone breakage and laying hands. We all talk about how poorly they're treated, how they've genetically modified these things to have breasts like Mae West and legs like Mary Pickford, you know. And so your chickens, you know, they basically mess around with. Well, one of the problems with them is they break legs and bones, and it's a big problem. It's a big problem in the U.K. also, Simon, in England, where they have 29 million laying birds. So what they decided to do is add something to their food. Gee whiz, what a shock. Add something to animals' food. This time it's omega-3 acids because they want to reduce these broken bones. So I guess having chickens fall over in the middle of a factory farm or in a mildly range farm and die of broken legs or they can't be fixed before they can be sold to markets, a huge loss for some of us. So anyway, they started messing with them. So Ash, you want to talk about what they're doing to them at all?
What do you mean? I thought you had that covered. I'm sorry. This is yours today, my dear.
Simon,
this is what happens when we let her have a day off, you know?
So they started adding these omega-3 fatty acids. So they claim it reduces the breaks by 40%. Well, that's really nice, except, you know, they use synthetic versions. They never use anything natural. And then they just have to shoot their mouth off. So the researcher associate on the project who they let speak says, quote, one objective of our research has been to produce an egg with fatty acid content that benefits consumers while achieving the same bone-strengthening effect in the chicken. What do you mean their objective is to produce an egg with more fatty acid? You know, again, they're messing with Mother Nature. They want to create something other than we have. And then he goes on to say their next challenge is to find the ideal balance of different fatty acids to maximize the hen's welfare. Right, they really give a shit about the hen's welfare. While producing more nutritious eggs, resulting in a positive outcome for chickens. What positive outcome for a chicken? He either dies in the field or he's going to be thrown into a slaughterhouse with no anesthetic or anything else. Someone please call and tell us, how do you improve the welfare of a chicken that you're about to slaughter by horse's stuffing full of synthetic chemicals and feed. I mean, doesn't that gross you out?
One of the biggest problems with the omega-3 is the fact that, as we've discussed with the factory farms, omega-3 is it's a natural occurring thing and a normal balance that happens with animals that are out in nature and actually in natural environments that are not artificially inseminated to create this whatever it is they want, giant eggs or, you know, giant chickens or however they're altering them within the lab itself and then artificially inseminating the chickens to birth these. So they decided that they would do this in the feed, and they're now doing omega-3s in the feed, as Manny's saying, with the synthetics. And Monsanto's going one step further. The omega-3 is so lacking in the food and in the genetically engineered food and in the genetically engineered animals that they're now genetically engineering soy so that they can have genetically engineered more omega-3.
So, Ashley, I can see Igor going up to Dr. Frankenstein saying, "Master, are you ready for the monster?" And Frankenstein going, "No, give me a chicken instead." You know?
Okay, I do have a question. All of this, it comes about because of bone damage suffered by laying hens. Well, to the best of my knowledge, hens have been laying eggs for quite a long time. Now, I've never heard of this bone problem on a regular farm where the chickens are roaming around and you got to try and hunt down where they happen to lay their eggs. Is this purely a factory farm issue?
Basically, what add to it, if you have hens, chickens and turkeys are genetically modified in the strains to give them more white meat because they believe people want white meat. So what you have is a situation where you have a genetically altered chicken and turkey in the first place. So once they genetically alter, much like with plants and vegetables, then you're now playing catch-up with nature, trying to fill in all the things that you miss that nature provides naturally without a second thought. So this time it's omega-3 acids.
And it's one of the many things because they also have the problem is also with the eggs are cracking. So they're so fragile that they have cracking eggs.
So here we have a chicken that is stuffed full of growth hormone, given antibiotics, and now because his bones are breaking because of it, they got to give him omega-3 fatty acids. Yeah. So what happens when his color starts to change from it? They're going to pump him up with vitamin D? I mean, where does this stop?
Well, Manny, part of that omega-3 problem is the vitamin D, and a part of that vitamin D is the fact that they are in these caves. They're in these cement-building caves all day long in tiny little cages that they can't move in. So they can't move, so they're going to have more of the omega-6, which is carcinogenic. All this gets passed on to people.
Well, honey, they still have this problem where they have where they're given some free-range movements because it's an inherent flaw in the genetically modified chicken. So it's
absolutely
for both reasons. But, we've been discussing vaccinations often on the show, and we talk about how in our generations we've gone from one or two, maybe three vaccines to this new generation that gets as many as 30-something before they're 3 years old. Well, I'm beginning to wonder how many injections and how many different things are they going to have to give a simple chicken in a factory farm to get it to slaughter so you can eat it? Are we going to have chickens with 5, 6, 7? I mean, if you included every dosage of, RBGH given every day in antibiotics, these chickens are getting 200, 300, 400 doses, maybe even 1,000 doses of medicine before they ever hit the market.
Right.
I want to just butt in here. There's a question coming in from one of our listeners, and I think it's worthy of discussion. The listener says that she's looking at a bag of frozen chicken.
Mm-hmm.
It says, no hormones allowed. Federal regulations prohibit use
of added hormones or steroids. Now, that's not quite the way I understand the situation to be.
No, that's simply not true. I don't know where that comes from on the label. It goes on every single day at every single factory farm. Tyson's is probably worse. Not only does Tyson do that, but Tyson adds a salty brine that contains MSG and other chemicals, and up to 15% of the weight of that frozen chicken could be related to the injection of those additional water with the MSG. And they're proud of it. They brag that they know what will make that chicken taste better. And some of their competitors, like Foster Farms, actually started a noplumping.com or whatever it is, and they are pressing the FDA to ban what's called plumping. Plumping is the art of using this form of MSG, RBGH, which is the growth hormone, and all this stuff in the food. So there are a number of manufacturers who have joined together with Foster Farms or growers to oppose this. So this goes on every single day. It may be illegal to add steroids and other things after it's killed, but it goes on every single day in this country before it's killed.
Now, that's really read that to me again, Simon, because I want to write that down. Also, ask the listener the name of the brand.
It came from Walmart, but I don't have the brand name. What was written was, looking at a bag of frozen chicken, it says, no hormones, my computer's jumping around, no hormones allowed, says federal regulations prohibit the use of added hormones or steroids.
You know, I think, Manny, that's really probably going to be the key, is added after.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think that's probably what that bag says. And it's, again, it's trying to as Manny's making fun of it, what language is it in? Because it's an industry language.
I said my comment was, what language does the chicken speak? Because if I want to know where it came from, chances are, if it's a Walmart, it's probably from Tyson's, who supplies McDonald's, all the other fast foods, and only Cargill, them, and one other one have the ability to provide that number of chickens to someone as large as Walmart.
Some of it, I think, is also there's a period of time with the antibiotics and hormones that they have to allow to clear, and I'm pretty sure it's the hormones, too. But the clearing, who knows?
But that's not the issue. The issue is truth in labeling. We talked last week about how California is forcing a truth in labeling, including GMO on something that's genetically modified. We need to force to have uniform language that every consumer can understand that clearly sets out when these chemicals are used, if they're used, and sufficient information for all of our listeners to make a decision on their own. I mean, if somebody wants to eat chicken or animal stuffed with chemicals, that's their right. I don't deny that right. But I think that person has a right to the truth before they make whatever decision they're making. So here's a listener who's gone to Walmart, looked at a chicken, looks at it, and you have to ask himself, do I believe that? What does it mean? Do I need a lawyer to interpret whether it was added before or after? I mean, so is everybody going to have to take a food lawyer with them to walk around the aisles of the market to figure out what some of these labels mean, whether there's 5 chemicals, 150 chemicals, how many of those chemicals are MSG, how many are steroids? You know, I just think it's unfair to the general public. And the fact that this listener feels the need to ask this question just underscores our position that they're not being honest with the general public every day.
Okay, truth in labeling is definitely, a hot button for the three of us. I came across a label the other day, which was either the nicest label I've ever seen in my entire life, or was a huge, huge con. But there's a brand of frozen vegetables called Picked Sweet,
uh-huh.
P-I-C-T Sweet. And I'm one of those strange people. You can probably tell by my accent. I grew up in Britain, so I'm one of like the 0.001% of the population that really, really likes Brussels sprouts.
Yes, no, half a 1%.
Right. I mean, we should start our own club.
Both of you?
Right. Anyway, Jen said, do you want some of those baby cabbage things? So I knew what she meant. So I said, yeah. So I said, well, you'll have to do them because I don't know anything about baby cabbages. You know, it's pretty hard. Get pan, add water, put baby cabbages in.
Hold your nose.
And boil. Yeah, and because it was a frozen rather than fresh product, you know, I decided I'd better read the instructions, you know, just in case I needed to add anything like, you know, MSG or high fructose corn syrup, you know, all the usual things. But no,
rat droppings. You've got to throw some rat droppings in there.
Right. No, it just said, you know, put some water in the pan, bring it to a boil, put the baby cabbages in, and, you know, 3 or 4 minutes later, you know, or to, you know, desired doneness level, drain, season, and have a boil. Oh, well. Well, that's simple enough. And because of you two, and I do blame you for this, every time I pick up a package, I always have to look at the ingredient list, you know, just to see exactly what I'm going to be putting inside my tummy. And the ingredient list was really small. It only had one item on it, Brussels sprouts.
That's an event.
Now, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to make of it. You know, either this is the brand that, you know, if you're going to buy frozen vegetables, you know, buy it. Either that, or these guys have just haven't quite heard of the term truth in labeling.
No, actually, PickSweet is a very respected company out of Tennessee that was founded after the TV, the Tennessee Valley Authority, built the famous dam there during the Depression. And make a long story short, they worked very, very hard on natural and organic stuff. They don't claim to be organic, but they claim to be natural and that the vegetables are the only thing in it. They basically have all sorts of mixed vegetable and other products, steamables. They have a deluxe one, and they're one of the more respected ones. It's family-owned. The founder of the company was an engineer who worked on the TVA. I've looked him up a few times before. It's one word, PICT, P-I-C-T, sweet, S-W-E-E-T, and you can find them on the Internet. They have a very, very interesting background story. So that's one product that if you can find it, which is usually in your neighborhood in the Deep South and in that general area, I think it's a pretty good product, Simon. You should have more Brussels sprouts.
But one of the things I have in the past, I've tried emailing PickSweet because I wanted to know if they were GMO or how many chemicals they were using, and never heard back from them. So it looks really good. And on a comparison of some of the other values of what you've asked us in the past about, I agree with Manny. I think it's a decent product considering what's available in your stores.
Yeah.
Okay, and going back to the chicken saga, apparently it was a Walmart brand, and on the package it says, all natural chicken, salt, natural flavor, whatever that means.
Yeah, it could be MSG. I mean,
the problem with the word natural is there's no definition anywhere in the system for natural. The FDA has been unwilling to provide one despite numerous complaints from people. So at the end of the day, none of us truly know what natural means.
Because natural means, I mean, we don't know what it means, Manny, but also natural to me is not artificially inseminating an animal to genetically engineer it to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger used to.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
we all agree, but the point is that the FDA has not required anybody to do any of this. So at the end of the day, who really knows? I mean, the bottom line is that, no, you can't trust those simple words of all natural, because the truth is none of us know what it means. So that's our warning to you, is that you can't just accept it's natural because, as I said, none of us know what they'll include in that. And that's becoming one of the new problems that we see, is they're diluting what is organic and what is not organic and what is natural by these various different descriptions of them. So at the end of the day, they're just their attitude is we can't beat them. You know, let's just dilute them. And I think that's a big problem in our country right now. We cannot afford to have food companies determining what they put on their labels and what they say, which just gets us back to the truth in lending. So I want to go to another aspect of this, and it's, again, in a parallel universe. This one's in China. Recently, within the last week, tainted vinegar is suspected in 11 deaths in China. You know, China is full of these scary food safety headlines. We're going to cover a lot of them during the show.
And especially since some of the food is coming from China.
Well, that's the main point, is so much is imported from China, food. And the worst part about it is they import a lot of it to Mexico. They repackage in Mexico, and it comes in as from Mexico. So one of the other deceptive things in truth and labeling is the label you see may not be the truth about where it comes from or how it got assembled. The same way people talk about Honda and other people having building these wonderful plants in the Midwest and taking over former plants, they're really assembly plants. They don't manufacture the parts there. The individual parts are made in Japan still, and in some cases other nations that make cars. They ship them to the United States where the cars assemble in the United States, and they go, oh, made in the United States. Well, the correct word would be assembled in the United States. And I don't want to exclude BMW, who has a plant in the Carolinas. I think Mercedes has a plant now in the Carolinas. While I commend them for bringing some of their work here to the U.S., it's not all of it. And the same is true with food. So let's get into China a little bit. We're talking about this week. Police in northwest China are blaming 11 deaths and 120 illnesses on this vinegar. Okay? Apparently, after a day of fasting, they went out and had rice and vinegar, and they all nearly died.
Contaminated with antifreeze.
Yeah. And that's the problem. They've traced it down, and the containers they stored the vinegar in held at one time were used for antifreeze. So I guess they're reprocessing their materials to the extent that they're using, maybe the next one uses a gasoline a container to put vinegar in. I mean, it's insane.
Well, I mean, the good news is if you accidentally put the vinegar in the freezer, it won't freeze.
Oh, absolutely. What if you accidentally put the vinegar in your car? Then you really got a problem. You know, and so what's happening in China is it's just one food scandal after another. Remember the spotlight on the infamous melamine catastrophe, which sickened 300,000 and killed 6 infants when they basically started putting plastic in the formula. We covered it in our books, and we did it again on one of the shows. Well, just in the last few months, hundreds have been seriously sickened by a product called clenbuterol, and they use it in pork, and admitted Ashley's going to discuss with us what clenbuterol is, and they're saying over a dozen noodle makers were ordered to stop production because they were using ink, industrial dyes, and paraffin wax as ingredients. What? They didn't use some manure on their lawn? What are they thinking of? And they found 16 tons of pork pulled from the marketplace for containing sodium borate, a chemical that transforms cheap pork into darker, high-value beef. I mean, you know, now we got chemicals that are transforming pork into looking like beef, so your filet mignon is really pork filet mignon. I mean, so here we are buying food from other countries who are just running amok and have no you know, control. So the Chinese officials arrested 12 people for involvement in a 40-ton bean sprout debacle. They were using sodium nitrate, which is a carcinogen, urea, antibiotics, and a plant hormone to make the sprouts grow faster. Well, as you know, Simon, sodium nitrate, when you eat it, converts into sodium nitrate with an A, and that's a tremendous cancer causer. It's used primarily, as you know, for corned beef. It's what they use to make salami, for et cetera, to bind hot dogs together. Very dangerous chemical, and they just throw it around like it's nothing in China.
But why on earth would you need to do anything with sprouts? I mean, plant sprout, add water, pick 2 or 3 days later.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point. It's they can't, you know, 3 days is too long. If you get the sprouts in 2 days and you saved a third of your time, that's the kind of MBA type of mentality that's hitting the entire world. How bad is it? The police say they investigated 1,200 criminal cases concerning illegal adding of non-edible materials in food. I don't think we have 1,200 food manufacturers in the U.S. And they destroyed the key elements of the black market food production, which led to 2,000 arrests and 5,000 business shutdowns. I can't even imagine what that black market food is. I mean, what could you be selling on black market other than what Ash had sent me an article once on Africa, how they're selling rat meat and other things, and how people who move to other countries still want their rat meat. So they ship it around the world and smuggle it, right, Ashley?
It was like monkey meat or something.
Monkey meat, rat meat, also monkey meat primarily. And it's a big problem in New Jersey and New York. So I imagine a lot of people from Central Africa like monkey meat.
And it's with the transporting is also coming diseases. So.
And what's the matter with McDonald's? They don't serve a double cheese monkey burger?
Well, I'm still annoyed over the fact that the import people wouldn't let my friend send me a can of genuine Outer Mongolian stewed mutton. I mean,
yeah, I think that's horrible.
Yeah.
We got to go. People need to go back and listen to your mutton show. I mean, every home should have a can of mutton in case of an earthquake. People in Virginia would be glad to have a can of mutton this week, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Would you, Simon, can you believe that 45 people have died of food poisoning in China in the first 6 months of this year?
Yes, I can. And actually, I'm very surprised at how low the number is.
Yeah, so am I when you look at all this. Well, and, you know, the truth is that China has blacklisted 151 different additives in their food, but they just keep using them anyway. The worst one, there's two really bad ones we're going to discuss. Clenbuterol is the first one. So, Ashley, tell us what clenbuterol is.
It's a growth-promoting drug. It's called a beta-agonist class of compounds, very fancy name for it. It's illegal in the United States. The Food and Drug Administration has banned it in the United States for human use. And it's on some animals, I get two different things on it. Some animals are allowed to use it on for bronchodilator, and some countries are allowed to use it. It's a very toxic, when humans have it, it's a very, very toxic drug that will actually cause cardiac arrest, causes blood pressure problems. There's a lot of no deaths to date have been reported.
There's at least one death in China reported. In the last decade, more than 2,000 people have been hospitalized from it, and one did die. In fact, recently in Shanghai, 300 people from 9 districts were poisoned with clenbuterol in the pork.
I was going to say in several European incidents, no deaths were reported, except then in Spain, going back over past history. In 1990, there were 135 people who consumed beef liver that contained clenbuterol, and there were problems, and the concentrations were per billion very, very high. People were hospitalized with reversible symptoms of increased heart rate, muscular tremors, they had headaches, they had nausea, fever, chills. It was suspected in causing, earlier when they first started using it in France, they thought the clenbuterol was causing a lot of problems as well. It's very toxic to humans. And what happens in animals? Well, go ahead, Manny.
Well, actually, I just wanted to correct you. There were many, many more people than that ate it, but 135 people were actually hospitalized, and 140 more were treated with dizziness, heart palpitations, breathing problems. How about the shakes and similar headaches and other things? So the fact is that it was really much worse in Spain than you're describing, and the same was true in Jalisco in Mexico, where 100 people fell ill after eating beef liver contaminated with stuff. There have been 800 cases reported as of 2010, and those are more of the numbers. So go back, Ashley.
That's it.
So, you know, those are the bare numbers on clenbuterol, but they still use it in China, okay? They just continue to use it and use it. And what bothers me about Mexico is that they apparently have been using the clenbuterol as a feed medicine for poultry, and it contains arsenic. So here's a country that refuses to accept American meat, but they're allowing their livestock production to contain clenbuterol and arsenic, okay? And here's a quote from a Mexican official. A culture of substance use has developed. Cattle breeders and fatteners want fast results. And the use of feed alone doesn't lead to the kind of production yields they're looking for. So let's put it in clear American words. They can't make enough money, so they're cheating to make more money. And I love this. It's the same guy who says in butcher shops, don't buy meat from fatteners who don't use clenbuterol. So in other words, if the butcher cannot get that meat, he can't sell enough of it because it isn't big, beautiful, and red-colored. So even the butchers are clamoring for poisoned meat. So there's this whole basic underlying thing. And Ashley brought up the 2011 Gold Cup team, which she criticized recently, because five players tested positive for clenbuterol, and they claimed it was from eating Mexican meat. And, of course, the meat and the Mexican government didn't want to admit that was a problem, but they got caught anyway, because when they tested the meat, they found out that these guys truly were poisoned. It's terrible. So, and again, these people don't accept our meat, right, Simon?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, for weeks, months, I've been, you know, joking about how, well, you know, not even Mexico will accept our meat. But now it turns out that looks like Mexico has its own little issue going on.
Right, and they apparently had a noted professor named Dominguez and five other researchers work on this, and they published a study in the November to February issue, 2010 issue of one of the drug magazines, saying that, yes, it is. It's toxic and dangerous. So basically, you know, they're basically banned there, but they just go ahead and use it anyway. And the government, as we know in Mexico, really doesn't pay any attention to anybody. If they do, it's only so they can get a bribe. So nobody's making an effort to stop it.
But the problem is that they'll say no to one thing, and then they'll turn around and say yes to something else. Like the Minister of Agriculture in Mexico is saying they'll accept Zolpaterol, which is another of the same group. It's another group of the beta adrenergic agonists. And these are for cattle, pigs, sheep, and turkeys. And what they're doing with these is that it causes them to make the meat very lean very quickly. And in the United States, since the clenbuterol was banned, they decided, well, you know, we'll just come up with another drug.
Yeah, I love this, too. Is, you know, when they issued a public health issue alert, so everybody was careful. But when it came around to the Pan American Games this year, they pulled the alert because they were afraid it might affect tourists coming in and eating steaks in Guadalajara. So, you know, the Mexican government, oops. Don't want you to know that. Rather have you die. So the government and the industry keep claiming the meat's healthy, but every scientific study and every medical report contradict them. Just isn't.
And then again in July, when they had 2,000 athletes from at least 181 countries that were going to the World Aquatics Championship in China, they all said that they were not supposed to eat any of the beef or any of the pork because of these high levels of illegal substances used in livestock for growth and lean muscle tissue, because it's going to affect, it's going to show up on their blood test.
Well, how about another one? Why do you think they put the arsenic in the food to prevent chickens from having coccidiosis, which is a form of acidosis? So they're feeding them arsenic salts to prevent them from becoming ill. So either you eat a sick chicken that kills you, or the chicken looks good, but it's got arsenic in it and they kill you.
And it's got these other drugs in it. Because Eli Lilly then came up with a drug, and it's called ractopamine. And the ractopamine is a form of the same thing we're talking about that's illegal in China. In fact, Simon, the thing that started us down this path was when we talked last week how in Taiwan they refused our beef because it had this ractopamine in it. And ractopamine, again, is just another form of this clenbuterol, a watered-down version, different new chemical, but
So I want to add this one in. So they feed the cattle ractopamine and the birds, as well as the arsenic and all these other ones. Great. You got a chicken that may weigh with feathers, bones, everything before it's killed, maybe 7, 8, 9 pounds. So when you think about it, how much blood does that animal have? A pint or less than that? I mean, it doesn't have much blood in them. And then you're pumping all of these various chemicals into a small object with that amount of blood. It's really quite serious. And then what makes it worse is they take the droppings from the poultry and use it as manure and fertilizer for the cattle feed. So here the birds are dropping arsenic, clenbuterol, and ractopamine into, basically their food into fertilizer, and then they're fertilizing the feed and then giving it to the cattle. That's really a good idea, don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. It's what you call a closed-loop system.
Oh, yeah. They got the chicken going from one end to the other, right?
Right.
In the United States, the drug is called Paline, and that Paline is the ractopamine. And 45% of the United States pigs, 30% of the ration-fed cattle, and an unknown percentage of turkeys are pumped full of this drug in the days leading up to slaughter. Now, this drug actually, because there's no FDA ruling on, you can give it up till slaughter. Okay, so you're giving this up to slaughter. It goes into the tissue, goes into the liver. It makes the meat worth more for the person selling that meat. But that remains in the liver. It remains in the tissue of the animal that you're actually buying.
Well, let's add to that. It's banned in 160 nations, yet the U.S. FDA regards it as safe. You know, and when you look for it, read this stuff. For example, it says it's responsible for hyperactivity, muscle breakdown, and a 10% mortality in pigs, and yet it's approved by the FDA.
After they give it to the pigs, they become so sick that the pigs will, one researcher was saying how the pigs literally will start throwing up. They fall over. They become, they have difficulty walking. They're extremely agitated. They're so agitated to the point that when you see the pigs and the animals that are being poked in to get them where they need to go, it's because they are so in so much pain caused by this instant leanness forced on their body by these drugs from Eli Lilly.
Yeah, and I love this. This is how they do Eli Lilly. I thought Pfizer also made it.
Pfizer made the arsenic.
The arsenic, right. So this is how they discovered it. They were using a test on mice, okay? They were using a drug which they were going to use in asthma. So you can imagine, if you want to get more muscular, keep sucking on an inhaler and your biceps grow. But when they gave the drug to mice, it made them more muscular. I have this vision of this little mouse looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, "Don't F with me," you know? But the fact
But that's already been done. Wasn't he called Mighty Mouse?
Right.
The cartoon?
Yeah, especially with that little tiny waist. You know, here I come to save the day. No, I never saw it. And anyway, make a long story short, basically because it made mice muscular, they went, "Oh, my God, it must make cows muscular." And they just went off and did it. So this is what happens. They take the Paline, or how you pronounce it, and improves feed efficiency by 13%. The average daily weight gain increases 10%. So if you got a 100-pound cattle, it can put on 10% of weight. I don't believe that, but it has to do a lot. So they say that the feed intake is reduced by 6%, while the total lean meat production by 25 to 37%. I don't know how they get these stats, but any way you describe this, it's horrible. They can help a meat producer get an extra $5 to $10 per hog and increase profits by more than $320,000 a year in a fairly good-sized operation. I mean, so basically, you know, they're pumping these things up with drugs to kill you just for another $320,000. Does anyone want to comment on the morality of American businesses?
No, thank you.
if you can find any, of course.
Simon, this is the reason we're discussing this. One of the main reasons is every day you make a list of what, for people who are on any medicines, they make a list of what drug they took for the day. And this gets back to us with our elimination style diet and the enzymes and essential organics that you have to have. Now, if every day you're taking this down, you might as well add to your list of drugs paline. How much meat did I eat today that was not, that came from a factory farm? And what, let's flip a coin since they don't have to put it on any label. Have you heard of paline before, Simon?
I can honestly say no.
Have you heard of riptopamine? I mean, clenbuterol,
no.
Yes, because of the bikers getting caught with clenbuterol. But even if they were saying in Spain, I didn't use it. They put it in the supplements in Europe, in some European countries.
There were soccer players.
In Mexico, right.
And all 10 of the American soccer fans who aren't Latinos didn't notice it. But that's one of the problems.
And this stuff is so toxic. I went to their site because I wanted to see how would I give paline to my cat. Joking. And here's the warning. Not for human use. The active ingredient in paline, ractopamine hydrochloride, is, as we said, a beta-adrenergic agonist. Individuals with cardiovascular disease should exercise special caution to avoid exposure, not for use in humans. Keep out of reach of children. Now, there's all kinds of palines with different numbers after them, so I guess they keep changing the formula. This is about paline 9 formulation, and it poses a low dust potential under usual conditions of handling and mixing. When mixing and handling paline, use protective clothing, impervious gloves, protective eyewear, and approved dust mask. Operators should wash thoroughly with soap and water after handling. If it gets in contact with the eyes, rinse it thoroughly with water. If irritation persists, seek medical attention. And then they give a phone number. This is a warning of the use of this drug that is being put into our food system without one single one of us knowing anything about paline. And by the way, it goes by three different names. There's three different names for it, but, you know. And
one of them is death.
And the reason they use different names is because then they assign that to a different animal, Optiflex and Tomax. I'm assuming Tomax is for turkey.
Yeah, and the other one, by the way, the other one, which is Optiflex, is used on cattle, and that increases their weight by as much as 15.9%. And basically it increases the value of cattle by $8 per head. There are a lot of really sophisticated studies of this, but the bottom line is that they don't even allow any time for this. They use it right up to the last day before slaughter because they're afraid that if they stop using it, the cattle will start losing weight. So every test that I've read said that even the smallest amount passing through the liver is toxic.
And it changes. Once it goes into that animal and after slaughter, it still continues to metabolize and change. There was some sort of chemical change that occurred in some of the labs of scientists.
Right. In fact, one of the things I found interesting is ractopamine has not been tested in animal livers or any other form after it's in the tissues of animals. The industry is so powerful, that the FDA has not even demanded any kind of test. So once again, we got a rogue chemical that's labeled by every independent scientist. In fact, even on their own website, is dangerous to human beings, but they really haven't done anything to really test it. So to give you some idea, the drug's banned in Europe, Taiwan, and China, but more than 1,700 people have been poisoned by eating pigs from the drug in those countries since 1998 because they're still using it anyway. And some of the countries, particularly, like China, who has such a large population, don't have enough inspectors and are still in the Industrial Revolution. So God knows how many people in China are using it.
They use it in Canada, too.
Right.
Our meats are coming from Canada.
But I was about to get to the U.S. statistics. 45% of U.S. pigs and 30% of ration-fed cattle, the word factory farm, CAFO, should be used there, have ractopamine. So in other words, half of the factory farm cattle and almost half of the factory farm pigs, almost a third of factory farm cattle, besides all the other chemicals we've been railing about, now have this one too. I mean, isn't that incredibly dangerous?
Well, yeah, but here's the question I have. It's up to the FDA and USDA to act as the food sheriff, shall we say. But they obviously have limited resources. What instigates either of those organizations to actually look at a product and determine if it's safe or unsafe?
When people start dying in such a number that it's on the evening news and they're embarrassed, they start to look at things. But it takes public embarrassment. Or if every American gets up and say, I'm not going to buy meat that has this in it, then they have to act because of the financial consequences. But they only respond to embarrassment and financial pressure. The same way they respond to the financial pressure of all the manufacturers, the public can use financial pressure too if they unite, which is what we're all trying to do with the food revolution. That's the topic of our book, The Food Revolution Papers, which will be out within the next 30 days, is how do you join the revolution? How do you fight all these things? How do you vote with your paycheck? How do you stop these chemicals in the market? And the only thing anybody respects is when you don't give them their money. How dangerous is this? Michael W. Fox, not the actor, who's a prominent veterinarian, said, adding insult to injury, up to 20% of the ractopamine remains in the meat you buy from the supermarket. So,
this is a veterinarian.
Right. So here you have an interested listener who talks about this chicken that says no growth hormones, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they're referring to RGBH, but I wonder if they're referring to ractopamine or clenbuterol. Because those are illegal anyway, so it's like a black market. Who wants to admit that you're doing something? But the fact is it's there, and that's one of the things that are affecting so many Americans.
And I think this is my feeling towards it, too, and I stand by this. I think anybody who has a heart attack, especially in this country where every 30 seconds somebody's going to have a heart attack, I think anytime anybody has a heart attack, I think if you have a loved one who has a heart attack, I think you should tell your loved ones if you have a heart attack. And you've been out and you ate. And after you ate, you had that heart attack. Get them to run a blood test and see whether or not you had paline in your blood or you had ractopamine or you had illegal drugs in your system based on that food that you just ate. And I think if people start demanding that across the country, there's going to be a movement to stop putting drugs into the food that's making not only animals sick, they're so sick they throw up. They're so sick they fall over. They cause a heart attack. These are bad drugs.
So let's go back to the theme of our books. It's Not Your Fault, for example, our last book on weight gain, illness, and obesity. These are things that cause glucose intolerance. So if you're a diabetic and you have a piece of meat with this stuff, it gets in your liver, kidneys, etc., it can cause glucose intolerance, raise your blood sugar. It can cause the heart attacks, as Ashley pointed out.
High blood pressure, strokes.
Well, let's go to that. Dr. Lindell in Arizona has always said that it's not cholesterol that causes heart attacks, it's inflammation. Well, this is another chemical that inflames your heart and your veins and can lead to heart attacks. As Dr. Lindell points out, he'd done over 5,000 open heart surgeries, and not everybody had high cholesterol, but they all had an inflamed heart. So anything that you take that inflames your heart leads you to possible illness. And I have to come back to your comment quickly, Simon, about, you know, the FDA and all these sheriffs and other people. I think Time magazine put it quite well. Here's a conservative Time magazine that's basically owned by Time Warner, one of the biggest corporations in the United States. And this is how they described our current foreign policy and the FDA and the rest of it. Quote, a welfare program for the mega farms. That means factory farms, all of them. They use the most fuel, the most water, and the most pesticides, emit the most greenhouse gases, grow the most fattening crops, hire the most illegals, and depopulate rural America. That is from a conservative magazine, Time magazine, that I think I'm going to start quoting this one more often, because they sum up in one sentence exactly what our objections are to factory farms and the greedy American corporations who are profiting off all of these people. And again, I'm going to repeat a couple of these things, okay? It's a welfare program for the mega farms. And yet in Iowa and all these conservative states where the mega farms are, because I think there's, what, 22,000 CAFOs in the country? And 5,500 of them are in Iowa. So these mega farms are the same ones railing against big government interference, but they're getting the big bucks out of the government for their farms and farm subsidies. Oh, like Michelle Bachmann, who's not being honest about it. They, if you look at the manure lagoons and the methane gas they do, they grow the most fattening crops. Most of their corn's used for high fructose corn syrup and corn solids. They make MSG there, all the other ones. They hire the most illegal aliens, because what American would want to work in a sweatshop smelling manure in a hazmat suit in the middle of Iowa on 100-degree weather on a farm? So depopulate rural America? Well, as we've talked about in so many shows, nobody can live anywhere near these farms. So at the end of the day, if you draw a straight line from these chemicals put in the animals, how they're treated on the farm, how they get to the market, and then you take a look at that label we've been discussing from Walmart, that's why we need truth in labeling, because that label doesn't tell half the story about how that chicken got pumped up with chemicals, mistreated, genetically modified, physically and mentally abused, and then thrown into a vat, and you're being told, oh, it's an all-natural chicken. You know, as I joke, you know, that's about as natural as comparing Frankenstein to George Clooney. I mean, there's nothing natural about that thing. A natural chicken is one that grows out in the free range, who eats the forages in there, the grass, the other things, and a variety of different foods, and fattens itself up naturally, and has beautiful white meat with no chemicals in it, and the only time they get a medicine is when they're truly ill. That's a real chicken, not a chicken who's born out of a machine, and all the males, you know, can be thrown away in some instances on the egg farms. On other farms, they just turn them into little chicks in little cages that grow up to be in bigger cages. And I love the other false label. This chicken is not caged. Okay, it's not caged. It's in a 5,000-square-foot farmhouse with 5,000 other chickens. But because there's four walls that are a cage instead of individual cages, they say they're uncaged.
Oh, so do you know what the latest testing in that one is, Manny?
No.
They've run a new test right now where they decided, I think this one was done in Europe, where they're now testing salmonella to see if within that cage that if they have a salmonella above, they injected these chickens with, or hens with salmonella in one cage, put another cage below it to see whether or not the ones below would get the salmonella for the ones above. And so that they decided to see whether or not it's actually healthier to keep them in the cages. Because if they're in these big factories, there's no way to contain or even measure or know how much salmonella or E. coli or, you know, bacteria, antibiotic resistance and things are actually in those chickens. There's no way in hundreds of those all mixed together. Because they just pass it from feces to feces.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and I love it because what they call this stuff is lean meat powder. Oh, wonderful.
Oh, yeah, that's what it's called in China.
Yeah. Lean meat powder. I guess if you take that and take meat glue, you can have a lean meat glued powdered filet mignon, and or known as the chemical burger.
And for those who have not read the meat glue, it's on our site. I mean, that's just, it's offensive. It really is. And it's in your current food.
Actually, if you add that other chemical, you can have a hot dog mignon.
Well, you know, if you throw, you know, I'll tell you the old line, if you throw the hot dog against the wall, it'll now stick. So basically, and we're going to cover more of this Saturday, there's just so many things. I mean, there's a 151-item blacklist published in China that's being violated every day. And it's a very unusual list. I saw it broken down in here. 47 of the items on the list are used in production of food and considered edible. There's 22 additives, namely drugs, that are open to abuse, and 82 substances not allowed in animal feed or water. Well, we're only talking about a few of them. How do we know that the other 75 or so aren't in there and they're not keeping up on tests because they can't? They just don't have the ability to do it. But one of the things they have the ability to do that I admire is, you know what the penalty is there, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
And listen, if you're going to catch somebody and you're going to execute them, then by all means. And let me tell you what happened. They caught a professor doing clenbuterol, and it was really the father of all this. So they arrested him, five people accused of producing and selling tainted meat. And they were convicted of, quote, endangering public security by using dangerous means. I like that title. It ought to apply to Hugh Grant, the CEO of Monsanto and others. And it said one defendant was given a suspended death penalty, and four others received jail terms. And these jail terms, I believe, were 6 years. No, 9 to 15 years, five of them. So can you imagine if we picked one CEO, and I love to use Hugh Grant because he's so in the public these days with Monsanto, and he were sentenced to death, don't you think Nabisco and ConAgra and all the rest of my pay a little attention? I mean, what's
No, they wouldn't. They would just get their lobbyists together and pay off some job. No, I didn't say that.
Well, really, I mean, if this were China, the Chinese government would take Hugh Grant in a public square, execute him before the general public, and say, if you do this, you're going to die like him. I wonder how long Monsanto would be committing the type of world crimes they do against humanity. I mean, really, Hugh Grant should be tried right now, even in The Hague, for crimes against the world. And many of the CEOs, there are fewer, Pfizer and Merck, responsible for those horrible drug tests on children in Nigeria and other parts. And how about Monsanto, responsible for more than 200,000 suicides in India? Somewhere, at some time, there's going to be trials of these people for violating international law. I mean,
I hope so, Manny. I really do.
Monsanto's responsible for more deaths than Gaddafi. He's responsible for two rebellions in Syria against Assad. And the last one, he killed 30,000 people. It's only up to five that right now. So that's 1/6 of the amount of people that Monsanto's caused deaths to in the last, 10 years. So the question is, why aren't we prosecuting these people? You want to clean up our food chain? Prosecute those heavily that are responsible for it. But as long as Hugh Grant is paying off the President of the United States, and that includes the Bushes, Clinton, and, of course, Obama, and he's rewarding them by appointing their little lackeys like Michael Taylor as deputy food commissioner and appointing people like Tom Vilsack, who's a pro-Monsanto ex-governor of Iowa, to key positions. Who's going to prosecute anyone? They're not, because these guys are too busy with their hand out taking bribes. And it would be interesting, because I haven't researched it, I'd have to go to some public sites, but I wonder how much money Monsanto has donated to Tom Vilsack's election campaigns over the last 10 years.
Or is getting together for the next election. Or put together for, I wonder how much Boehner got in Congress from these people.
Yeah, I also wonder what the next job, I mean, when Michael Taylor leaves the FDA, it'll be interesting what his next job is. When Tom Vilsack stops being the head of the USDA, it'll be interesting to see who offers him a big six-figure check, because I'll bet in the first 3 years after he leaves the federal government, he earns more money than he has in the last 15 years. Well, I think every average American should have that right. But no, most companies you work for make you sign a confidentiality agreement, which includes you're not going to work for a competitor or going to work for other people. We need our government to have a similar agreement that if you take a key position in defense, food, and other areas that are so critical to Americans, that you cannot leave that job and go to work for the industry that you're controlling for 3 to 5 years. And that would cut out some of the bribery. But, God, Michael Taylor left the FDA and became general counsel at over $1 million a year at Monsanto. There is no way he can be objective nor honest in his position in the FDA when he's looking forward to $1 million-a-year-plus job at Monsanto. And he was probably earning $1 million a year as their lawyer anyway when he was appointed to the office. So he was forced to work for 3 or 4 years at substandard wages. Does anyone believe for a minute that Michael Taylor, who's a brilliant lawyer, would suddenly give up everything for 3 or 4 years if he didn't have an expectation of money to feed his family at the end of the day? So we're going to keep discussing clenbuterol and raptopamine on our Saturday show and for weeks to come, so everybody understands the full length and breadth of this. So is there anything you want to add to that conversation, Ashley?
There was a lot, but Saturday's show, I guess, we'll cover on how Eli Lilly worked with the Codex to get this thing in. It's back to lobbying. We're at the close, so maybe Saturday we could continue that. Also, there's a good guy on Facebook who's been Facebooking me called B.J. Davis, who's an amazing writer. He turned me onto a site called www.whistleblowers.org. It's the National Whistleblowers Center in D.C. They're making positive strides on allowing Americans, the unsung heroes, who are willing to step up to the plate and actually go report the injustices going on. And so if you find something where you want to go check out that site, or if you want to be anonymity in allowing people to help clean up this mess, whistleblowers.org.
Okay, I want to add one thing, though, Ash, before we go, because you mentioned Codex. We'll explain Codex and what it is, because it's basically a joint venture between two United Nations agencies. And recently, the National Pork Producers Council expressed strong disappointment that they couldn't convince the UN to approve a standard for raptopamine. So here they are, knowing all of this, and they're trying to change the rules to get other countries to take it. And it's basically trying to alter trade agreements. So because the Codex, which we'll discuss in Saturday, refused to adopt a standard for raptopamine, they were disappointed and angry because they think it should be used.
They're angry Europe could not be forced to be allowed to use this carcinogenic, neurogenic drug on animal feed. That's what they were angry about.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah,
give me strength.
I know. It's just amazing. So we're going to do more of this on Saturday, along with we're going to take a little walk up and down the aisles of Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, get some shopping tips, and our dear friend Susan Alderetti, she better get ready because we're going to show her ways to read what's on the aisle, because one of our problems that we have with Whole Foods and Trader Joe's is you can walk down the aisle and find all these organic foods, but if you're not careful and you pick up the one next to it, it may be just as deadly as something you find in the worst market in L.A. So while they're busy beating on their chest about all the great things they do, they fail to tell you that they also sell you the junk. If you're not careful, you can buy it. And, of course, Ash and I may do our impersonation of the butcher trying to explain genetically modified feed to unsuspecting people, because that one is really priceless.
Thank you,
actually,
Simon.
We don't have time today, and I doubt we'll have time on Saturday. But a subject that I do want to discuss at some point is this whole designation of natural. It's beginning to really bother me.
Well, we're going to do that on Saturday, because that's part of our discussion about organic versus natural versus conventionally grown, and how all these labels and Trader Joe's and Whole Foods are so deceptive. So you may go home thinking you've just bought the best food in the world, and it's not. And I come back, this quote that sticks in my mind, Ashley, counseled an older patient who said to her, oh, I don't have any of these problems. I shop at Trader Joe's. And every time I think of that comment, I think of another lady friend of mine says, well, I don't have food problems. I buy all my food at Whole Foods. But you can shop and buy everything you want at Whole Foods, and it'll be just as deadly as any other market with just as many GMOs and just as much junk in it if you're not careful. And so we'll cover natural, conventional, organic, everything on Saturday.
Right, and any questions somebody has, please, please thank you for the listener for writing in. And if we find out anything different, we will definitely cover it on our show.
So have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you over the weekend.
Till Saturday, this is Simon Barrett. I want to thank Manny and Ashley for taking time out to talk with me today. And we will be back on Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, same channel, if you will. Just go to blogtalkradio.com, and you'll find us there, 1 p.m. Eastern. Till then, goodbye.